All righty, I'm annoyed about something. Hour number three of our radio program. You know I'm starting to find be insufferable? Ben Johnson, the head coach of the Chicago Bears. So there's an arrogance to Ben Johnson. I do think the Bears need someone with confidence, and I understand why the Bears made the hire. He's an innovative offensive mind. Ben Johnson is someone that, right, was the brainiac that was on the market, is definitely deserving of being a head coach. And last year, he thought he was too good for the Commanders job, didn't take it. Look, it ended up having a great turnaround, and Jaden Daniels ended up being a star. And now he goes to Chicago, and he gets to coach Caleb Williams. You know, he talks some smack with Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers, and LaFleur's like, I don't even really know Ben Johnson that well. It's not like we're buddies, so it is what it is, but you're a Bears coach. Yeah, you know, you're going to go take a shot at the Packers. You're going to do that. So Ben Johnson, I guess, was speaking today. And this is via Ari Muroff of My Sports Update. And Stu, I'm going to send this to you if we could cut it real quickly. Because I'm just going, and maybe I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just going based off the quote that I just read from Ari Muroff of My Sports Update. But I like Ari, and I trust Ari, and I don't think Ari ever quotes something and it's really taken out of context or it's something that's like misleading or something like that. So Ari's not one of these clickbait kind of accounts. So Bears head coach Ben Johnson, the tush push thing. Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play? I like explosive plays. I like big plays. So I'm not a big tush push guy myself. You know, a little insufferable comment by Ben Johnson. All right, you like explosive plays, but not everything could be an explosive play, Ben. And also, Ben, you haven't won a damn game yet as a head coach. I know you haven't coached a game yet in the NFL as a head coach, but I don't think if you're the coach of the Bears, quite frankly, where your organization has never had a 4,000-yard passer, you're able to basically pick your success. Like, oh, I only want explosive plays. I've never seen an explosive play with the tush push. You know what I have seen with the tush push? The Philadelphia Eagles win a Super Bowl. A Super Bowl! They won a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. Bears fans can't even dream of a Super Bowl these days. They would just be happy to make the playoffs. So Ben Johnson, I understand you're a coach now. You got to comment on everything. But he's been someone that there's an arrogance to him. And quite frankly, he is a guy right now that it's weird because I'm not rooting against the Bears. I want the Bears to do well because that fan base deserves it. But Ben Johnson is kind of making me want to root against the Bears. He's pretentious. He's insufferable. And yes, the Bears do need a coach that has some confidence. They need to do things differently. Because let's be real. The Chicago Bears have been so lost for so long. I know that they made a Super Bowl under Lovie Smith. You know, I know Eberflus. It wasn't Eberflus. This guy before Eberflus. Oh, what's the coach's name? He's now back with the Chiefs. Nagy. Matt Nagy. He won a coach of the year. You know, he made the playoffs in year one with Chicago. I think it was year one when they had the double doink. But this guy, Ben Johnson, he walks around like he is Lombardi. He walks around like he is Bill Belichick. He walks around like he's Don Shula. Or Landry, right? You haven't accomplished jack yet, buddy. All right? So Ben Johnson is now Mr. Anti-Tush Push, and what's your reasoning? Oh, because I like explosive plays. You know what? A touchdown's pretty good, right? I've seen Jalen Hurts run the Tush Push a lot to go get touchdowns. You're going to need a yard or two play. You're going to need those short yardage plays. So maybe, yeah, obviously everything, grand scheme of things, you get a 75-yard touchdown every play, but that's not how it works. So let me hear this, because it's one thing for me to just say it, and we'll see if what I'm reading actually matches the actual audio before I really pop off and sound off too much. This is Ben Johnson. Today they did this vote for the tush push. I guess Jason Kelsey showed up, and he saved the tush push for now. They needed 24 votes. They only got 22 votes in terms of saying, let's ban the tush push, and it's basically you can't push anyone. So if there's a ball carrier, you can't push him at all. So that'd be tush push, be a screen pass, whatever it is. They tried to outlaw that today, and they came up two votes short. This is Ben Johnson talking about the tush push, potential banning of it, and the vote not being successful today.
Man, I tell you what, does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play? So it'd become a first down or a touchdown.
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays, so I'm not a big push guy myself.
That's actually worse because you hear the question. You hear my point. Yeah, because it becomes a touchdown or it becomes a first down. Yeah, I just like explosive plays. Ben Johnson, I'm sorry, folks. Chicago, I hate to do this to you. And I think you guys can make the playoffs this year. I think you'd be a 10-win team. You got a good roster. You revamped that offensive line. You got Joe Tooney in the new deal. You got Jonah Jackson. You got Drew Dolman. I like Roma Dunze. You drafted a tight end, Colston Loveland. You drafted Luther Burden. You went tight end wide receiver in the first two rounds. You got DJ Moore, who's a very underrated wide receiver in this league. You got Caleb Williams, number one overall pick. Stu, like, Ben Johnson's making it very easy to root against him. Because you want to be opinionated, that's fine. Can you accomplish something first? Before you basically become the czar of the NFL and you got to talk about everything? But this is the same guy, right? Last year, he thought he was such a genius. And I understood at the time. Commanders, unstable organization. Even though Josh Harris was coming in at that point, he was already in. And you got Adam Peters. Everyone thought you were going to go there. You knew you had the second overall pick. And he passed up that opportunity and had that age for Mr. Know-It-All. For the smartest guy in the room in Ben Johnson. Had that age for you. Yeah, you went back to Detroit. Your offense did jack up against the Washington Commanders in a playoff game. The team that you denied. And the Commanders went to the NFC Championship game. But you got all the answers, Ben Johnson. Now you're going to basically take a shot at the Eagles who won a Super Bowl. The Eagles who, a big reason why they won the Super Bowl was their perfection on the tush push. And you're basically going to say, have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play? And when you have a reporter just sit there and go, hey, it gets first downs, it gets touchdowns, buddy boy. You're like, yeah, well, I like explosive plays. Oh, my God. Stu, I hate to say it. I really do. I'm rooting for this guy to fail. I want to see Ben Johnson fail. And I hate to do that because the city of Chicago deserves a football winner. Those fans, they deserve a good football team. They deserve a 4,000-yard passer. They deserve some success. And that's a fan base that's been beaten down, and you just expect every coach there to get fired within 3 years and every quarterback to be off the roster within 3 years. But this guy, Ben Johnson, I know he's getting paid a pretty penny, and I know he was basically the top guy on the market, right? Him and Vrabel. But I think Ben Johnson was more popular than Mike Vrabel, if I'm going to be honest, just in terms of the want for Ben Johnson. But him laughing at the reporter, basically, and like, oh, I just like explosive plays. Well, hate to break it to you. In the history of the NFL, there's never been an offense that's only been able to win off only explosive plays. So if they run the tush push this year, I'll be livid. Livid. Because it's not an explosive play. You said it. So why run it? He's very unlikable, Ben Johnson, right now. And that's the thing. I remember saying this about Ben Johnson. We're told about how great of a coach this guy is, right? And let me be clear. Ben Johnson was a phenomenal offensive coordinator. But not a lot of us know Ben Johnson the guy. Not a lot of us know Ben Johnson the coach. We just see what his offenses are and the creativity. And it's like, oh, Ben Johnson's wonderful. When you walk into an NFL locker room as the smartest guy in the room, Chip Kelly did it. And maybe Ben Johnson could relate to players better than Chip Kelly did. But Chip Kelly thought he had all the answers. He thought he was a know-it-all. Now, Chip wouldn't be this crazy at the podium like Ben Johnson was. He was a little bit more reserved and quiet at the podium and just kind of get into fights with the media. But for Ben Johnson and just basically poo-poo the tush push and be like, I wouldn't run it because it's not an explosive play. Damn, he's got a very punchable face. This Ben Johnson guy. I know someone's going to clip this and go, oh, you know, the host has a very punchable face as well. Sure, if you want to say have a punchable face. But who the heck is Ben Johnson to be like, oh, I only want explosive plays. So, therefore, that's why I'm not a big tush-push guy. I don't know. This guy, I got a weird feeling about him. And I hope what he did in Detroit on the offense, he's able to bring that offense to Chicago. But there's some early red flags, in my opinion, with Ben Johnson still. I'm not a Ben Johnson guy anymore. I'm out on Ben Johnson before he even coached the game. He is obnoxious, though. Really obnoxious.
Yeah, I don't like some of the signs I'm seeing in obviously, Caleb Williams already gets a lot of criticism, and obviously the Bears, as an organization, not being able to like develop a quarterback, develop a winning culture outside of a couple years here and there. Yeah, it's a tough hill for him to climb, and it doesn't look good right now. I mean, obviously, they haven't played a game yet, but I don't know. I'm kind of with you. Like, the guy kind of rubs me the wrong way. We know how great of a offensive mind he is, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, he's acting like he's won multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, no, he is. And that's all fine and dandy now. Like, if I'm a Bears fan right now, I'm like, yeah, Ben Johnson, this is our guy. Because you got no choice. But eventually, you have to go win games. And that accent get old real quickly. And I said it about Mike McDaniel. And everyone's like, oh, McDaniel's so funny at the podium. Oh, McDaniel, he's hilarious. And I'm like, it's weird. And now how's Mike McDaniel doing? He's on the hot seat. He's on the hot seat entering this season. Hey, Stu, do me a favor. Pull up the Bears schedule. I want to do win-loss on the Chicago Bears schedule. Because the Bears are a fascinating team. The Bears are an intriguing team. I think the Bears are one of the most intriguing teams in the NFL this year. But now I want to do this based off of my dislike for Ben Johnson, too. But I'll try to be fair here. So take it away.
All right. They start at home against the Vikings.
Loss.
Okay. Then they go to the Lions.
Loss. Oh, how great would that be? 0-2 to start Ben. Ben, don't you want to run tush push now, buddy boy?
Home against the Cowboys.
Win.
Okay. Then they go to the Raiders.
Win.
Then a bye week. Then they go to the Commanders.
Loss.
Okay. Home against the Saints.
Win.
At the Ravens.
At the Ravens?
At the Ravens, yes.
Loss.
At the Bengals.
Loss.
Home against the Giants.
Win.
At the Vikings.
I have them split with the Vikings, so win.
Okay. Then they are home against the Steelers.
Win.
At the Eagles.
Loss. Oh. Nick Sirianni, you be that Philly guy that you love to aspire to be. I'd run the tush push every freaking play if I was Sirianni up against this jackass Ben Johnson.
At the Green Bay Packers.
At Green Bay?
At Green Bay.
Loss.
Home against the Browns.
Win.
Home against the Packers.
I'll have them split, so win.
Okay. At the Niners.
Loss.
And then their last one is home against the Detroit Lions.
I'll give them a win. So nine. And 8 right there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's that crazy. 9-8. Won't run the tush push on the final play of the season. You know what? This is a guy that his season comes to an end on like 4th-and-1. Because his arrogance on not wanting to run the tush push. Because it's on an explosive play, and on 4th-and-1, when you just need 5 yards to get into field goal range and you're down 2, he throws a 45-yard pass. You know, as Caleb Williams throw a 45-yard pass down the sideline, it goes off the hands of Romo Dunze and it's incomplete. That would be fitting. Play that for me one more time, Azar. Here is Ben Johnson at the podium talking about the tush push.
Man, I tell you what, does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play?
Does it become a first down or a touchdown?
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays. So I'm not a big tush push guy myself.
And that's the thing. You need some smaller plays to set up the explosive play. Like, how many times you hear the old adage, you gotta commit to the run. Even if the run's not working, you gotta commit to the run because the run sets up the pass. Right? And then you keep a defense honest. So sometimes you need that 1 or 2 yard play. And maybe you get a first down on 4th-and-1 when you run the tush push. And then the next play, you take a home run shot 45 yards down the field. So, yes, has the tush push ever led to an explosive play? Have you ever seen the tush push become an explosive play? Yes, I have. Because the result off the tush push, you dope, gets you potentially a big explosive play. Oh, this guy, Ben Johnson, I hope he fails. He's obnoxious. Do something in the league as an NFL head coach first before you walk around like you got the biggest you-know-what in the room and you have such an arrogance to you. Oh, man. The hairs on my neck are just standing up. And I hope I'm wrong on this guy because the Chicago fans, even though I have a lot of hatred right now, you know what? Hatred could be too strong of a word. I learned that a lot this week. I have a lot of dislike for Ben Johnson. I hope that this doesn't blow up in Bears fans' face, but it wouldn't be the first time the Brainiac offensive coordinator ends up being a disaster as a head coach. It is Zach Gelbsch on the Infinity Sports Network News Brief next.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start things off with Mark Dagnote. Last night, you had the Oklahoma City Thunders take a 1-0 lead up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander showed you why he was the MVP in the second half, and Anthony Edwards had 0 points in the fourth quarter. Let's hear from the coach of the Thunder as he credits SGA for bouncing back after a tough first half.
He keeps himself in it. He's got a great emotional temperament. I've always marveled at that about him. He was 2 for 13, I think, at halftime or at one point in the game. And he just keeps himself in it. You know, he doesn't get emotional. He just plays the next play. I thought he was really in attack mode tonight. You know, like, he did a great job of pounding the paint with the ball.
And you always see that. Even when SGA doesn't play his best game, he usually hits that 30-point mark. It's the same thing with Jalen Brunson. You know, Jalen Brunson, one of those guys, even if he's not at his best game, he usually gets in that 28 to 30-point range. And you saw that with SGA last night as they ended up getting that victory. Now, a big topic of conversation is SGA getting too many calls. If you take away all the 11 made free throws, they still beat last night the Minnesota Timberwolves. Here's Bill Simmons, though, on the Bill Simmons podcast saying that SGA gets too many calls.
I feel like Shai is getting this whistle that nobody else in the playoffs is getting, where there's little touch fouls or these bumps where you're not even sure who initiated the bumps, and he's just getting it. If you're Minnesota, the one thing you're going to come out of the game is we have to get a better whistle on these SGA calls.
Now, they were furious the whole game. I mean, they were furious going into the game, which is always kind of a bad sign. If you're already, like, on edge about it, it's like you're it feels like you just got to chill out a little bit, accept that it's going to be bad. But, yeah. I'm sure some clips will be sent to the league office between games 1 and 2.
Deservedly.
And that's the thing. Narratives can impact the series from game 1 to game 2. And now there's just so much narrative about the calls that he got. And don't get me wrong, there were some calls that he clearly forced last night. But did it impact the game in terms of that's why Oklahoma City won? I don't think so. And Azarm, I thought you had a good point earlier, Alex, when you were talking about this. He drives a lot. Like, how many times you look at the Timberwolves last night? 3-3-3-3-3. The Celtics, 3-3-3-3-3-3. And they lived and died by the 3. And last night, the Timberwolves couldn't hit theirs. And you got to have Anthony Edwards show up in the fourth quarter. Talk about Anthony Edwards. Let's hear from him. He credits OKC for their great defense.
They clog the paint. That's what they do. They don't got much size down there. So they bank on us not making shots, I guess. Because every time I go to the rim, it's like 4 people in the paint. So, yeah, I guess they just be clogging the paint. They put like 5-4 bodies in the paint, make you kick it out. So, just keep making the right play.
So, there you go on that. Let's go to LeBron James on his Mind the Game podcast on the Celtics not reaching the NBA Finals. Here is King James.
Seems like they get bored sometimes with the, I don't want to say the process, because they are who they are. Mm-hmm. And they've, you know, when you look at Tatum Brown, they've, this is years and years and years and years. They've punched their 10,000 hours, you know. Mm-hmm. And but sometimes it seems like, you know, sometimes they get a little bored because of how great they are.
Right.
I think a lot of people will sit there and be like, how do you get bored? You're a professional athlete. If there's one sport in the regular season you can get bored in, it's the NBA. And kind of LeBron started that. Because when he was with the Heat, right, you saw the Golden State Warriors, too. There were 1 year the Golden State Warriors had 73 wins, and they didn't win a championship. So those two teams, they really kind of at times could maybe coast, and it didn't matter what seed they were. You know, when LeBron was in Cleveland, he always knew he was getting into the finals. When LeBron was in Miami, he always knew when he was getting into the finals. Same with Golden State. But I don't know if every team could do that. And the Boston Celtics, I don't think because them being the 2 seed in the regular season is why they ended up not making it back to the conference finals or the NBA finals. I don't, but there is something with the Celtics. Even when they won a championship, there are some moments where you pull your hair out. And leading up to their championship the years prior, there were moments just like, how the heck were they that flat at home? Or how were they at one point down 3-0 to the Miami Heat? And there's just some alarming moments where you go, man, they should be so much better. So could it be a little boredom? I guess it's not the craziest thing that LeBron James did suggest. Let's go to Roger Goodell, CNBC CEO Council Summit. I'm playing a full season of games overseas.
I think the potential for us to grow is there. It's the greatest opportunity for growth. I mean, we already have 200 plus million fans here in the States. So we're not giving up on the States and continuing to expand here. But the international is just it's an open market for us. We're introducing the game. We're sharing our game. And the fans are reacting to it in an extraordinary way. So we're excited about our potential. Yes, I do see 16 regular season games. I think that will happen sometime in the very near future.
Wow. How far out in the future do you
Within
think?
Within 5 years, probably.
So he's not saying just one team play all their games overseas, Stu. It's just that they'll have like 17 or 16 regular season games all overseas.
Yeah, like a full slate, yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. The one thing, though, that I will not stand for and I will not tolerate, and this may not be well with our international numbers, I never want to see a Super Bowl not played on U.S. soil. Like, if we're getting a Super Bowl in London, or if we're getting a Super Bowl in Germany, or in Ireland or something like that, what are we doing here? Imagine going to the company, hey, we're going to London for Radio Row. No, you're not. That's the one. You want to give me 16, 17 regular season games in London or something like that, or Germany or wherever, in Brazil, whatever. The Super Bowl needs to stay on U.S. soil. I need the Super Bowl in every U.S. city before it goes abroad. Can't happen. I will not stand for a Super Bowl overseas. So if that's the sacrifice I have to make, Stu, that we need to have a Super Bowl in order to keep the Super Bowl here in the U.S., they have 16, 17 regular season games at some point. Not by one team. That would be ridiculous.
That was my next question. What about a team being there full time?
Why would players agree to that?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you sign up for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know that's a team that we always use because they play so many games overseas. And you sign in Jacksonville, you know, you have to play maybe one or two games overseas. Oh, no, actually, you're going to have to go play nine. Right? All your home games are going to be in London. I would not agree to that. I don't think the NFLPA would allow that as well. Let's go to Jason Kelce. So he saved, I guess, the Tush Push, and he spoke at the owners' meeting. This is on the New Heights podcast before the Tush Push vote on him going to the owners' meeting to speak about the Tush Push.
I'm actually going to Minnesota.
What?
So there were some things said at the last owners' meeting. Some of the owners and coaches hinted that the reason I stopped playing was because of the Tush Push and that I got hurt on the Tush Push frequently.
What the f***?
I'm just going to answer any questions people have about my partaking in this play. I don't care whether it gets banned or not. I think that at the end of the day, this is why you vote on things. And if they vote to ban the Tush Push, the Eagles are still going to run quarterback sneak at a very high percentage.
92% exactly.
I'm just going to offer any type of, like, if anybody has any questions about the Tush Push or whether I retired because of the Tush Push, I'll tell you this right now. I'll come out of retirement today if you tell me all I got to do is run 80 Tush Pushes to play in the NFL. I'll do that gladly. It'll be the easiest job in the world, and it'll be like 80-some snaps.
So that was the narrative, that Jason Kelce retired because of the Tush Push? Huh. Jason Kelce retired because he played football for a long time, and also, he didn't need football anymore. Because he has one of the most popular podcasts on the planet, and he did everything that's possible in the football world. Won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, there was nothing left for Jason Kelce to accomplish. And that's why he walked away. Let's go to SiriusXM College Radio. Mac Brown, the legendary coach, Texas UNC, was on, and he's talked about North Carolina under Jordan Hudson. Excuse me, I mean Bill Belichick.
As far as North Carolina and Bill Belichick, now he's arguably the best coach ever. They've committed money to it. They've helped them with academics. They've lowered those standards some, so there's absolutely no reason that they shouldn't be successful. And anymore, they've changed the roster. I think they've signed maybe 60-something new transfers. So you've got a chance to succeed at the highest level, and I expect them to do that, and I'm proud for them.
Hey, Stu, I'll ask you a question here. Do you think Mac Brown is rooting against UNC this year?
That's interesting. It didn't seem like it felt very mutual the way they left.
Oh, really?
He left, and
I don't think he wanted to leave. Yeah. I think they made it seem mutual, but I don't think he wanted to leave. Mutual.
Maybe you're right. I would say he's probably rooting against success, but I don't know. I don't see Mac Brown as this like bad guy that roots against people. I don't know. That's why
I don't. But you lose your job somewhere when you keep on wanting to coach it. It's not as if they went to a younger coach. It's not that they wanted to just embrace NIL, so we're going to go to this 38-year-old head coach. They brought in a 73, 74-year-old man in Bill Belichick, who's one of the greatest coaches of all time. I don't think Mac Brown, just by that answer, hearing that right there, and like, oh, they lowered the academic standards, all the money, I feel like that's a bitter Mac Brown. Theo Pinson was on the To the Baja podcast. That's the name of the podcast?
That's the name of it.
To the Baja podcast? Okay. Theo Pinson says the Nets are a legitimate landing spot for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Brooklyn, I heard, is a real thing. You got to really think about Brooklyn's track record. Now, they did put one hell of a team together, right? Sean Marks knows how to go get done. He's revamped it. Ray, we played in New York. Ain't much like it. He's going to make a ton of money if he goes to the market in New York.
So, Zarm, I'll ask you this question, because you're a Nets fan, correct? What would the pitch be to Giannis Antetokounmpo, who wants to win a championship, and why he should go to Brooklyn?
We also have the most cap space in the offseason, so for free agency, so we could pitch to him that we could just give up all the picks that we got from the Knicks and the Rockets last year, trade that to the Bucks and maybe like a couple young players, and then use the free agency cap space to build a team around him.
It's not a terrible argument. I'll at least give you that. If I'm Giannis, though, I would want to go to the Spurs. I'd even see if I could go to the Knicks first, if you're going to go to New York. The Rockets are interesting with that roster. I think the Nets are in the running. I try to go to Golden State. I don't know how they'd be able to make that work. Maybe they could finally have the cojones to say goodbye to Draymond Green. And maybe you can make that deal kind of go, and you maybe trade Kuminga over to the Bucks. Also, though, another interesting one out there. Would you agree next year is kind of like a lost season for the Boston Celtics, Sue? Because of the Tatum injury?
Without Tatum, yeah, I would agree.
Would you consider maybe, hey, we'll give you Jaylen Brown? You take Jaylen Brown, we'll take Giannis. All right, the Bucks will be, the Celtics, they're fine for this upcoming year. They got Giannis. Not going to be a championship team with just Giannis. And then you have Giannis and you have Jason Tatum a year from now.
It's pretty good for both sides.
All right, like, I think you're probably not getting the Celtics.
If you're the Bucks, you're probably not getting a better player, just one player than Jaylen Brown.
No.
You would think.
Because, like, the Spurs, you could get Castle or you could get De'Aaron Fox, right? And then the number two overall pick in the draft. The Rockets, you have a few younger players, but none of them are Jaylen Brown. The Warriors, like, I just said Kuminga. The Nets, it's more picks. The Knicks, like, is Mikal Bridges. I'd rather have, obviously, Jaylen Brown. So you go through all the possible teams here for Giannis. I would say you're probably right in terms of you're not going to get much better than that. I still think the Spurs are so intriguing, though. Because you got Wemby, obviously he wouldn't be in the trade. You then have the second overall pick, which you would give up. And then you pick either De'Aaron Fox or Castle to include in that deal, too. So we'll see if they end up doing that. Finally, let's hear the Florida Panthers last night. They did take game one up against the Hurricanes. I saw Manny Diaz was getting the fans all jacked up for that one. Who's the former Miami coach. He didn't do well there. Now he's the coach at Duke. They couldn't even get Belichick in the building for that. You get Manny. That's the guy that you bring in to pump up the Hurricane fans. I wonder why they lost 5-2. So I'm sure Miami Hurricane fans are all happy because he's trying to get the Carolina Hurricane fans all jacked up. And then the Florida Panthers ended up winning. So the Panthers win 5-2. Bobrovsky had 31 saves. Carter Verhaeghe had a goal and assist. But let's hear this goal by A.J. Greer to give the Panthers a 3-1 lead. This is Dougie Plagans on the Panthers Radio Network.
Blake plays one down to our right, back behind the net. Nico Mikola there, backhand far boards, handled there by Gajewicz, given to Tomasz Nosek. Up the right side, now Mikola right circle in front of Chance Greer, and he scores! What a setup, and what a finish! A.J. Greer upstairs, and the Panthers take a 3-1 lead!
Great call. So that was 3-1, ended up being 5-1 before the final score was 5-2. Panthers up 1-0. I have a tough time seeing the Panthers lose to the Carolina Hurricanes. If I'm just being, I'm not saying they're not going to sweep them, I don't think. But it feels that series with the emotions up against the Maple Leafs before, that the Panthers are going to go back to the Cup final. And then this Stars Oilers series, again in the Western Conference Finals. DeBoer, how good of a coach he's been, doesn't have a ring. And then you got McDavid. You got some good storylines. But I would be very surprised if the Florida Panthers aren't back at a Stanley Cup final. And then we'll see if they could maybe the Oilers get some revenge, or if the Dallas Stars get Pete DeBoer his first Stanley Cup championship. Okay, we'll take a break. We got one more segment to play. On the other side, we'll take a look at Knicks Pacers game I'm going to tonight. Are the Pacers getting disrespected in this one? But first up with the latest sports flash, here's Zach. So Ryan Clark then goes after RG3 and says, oh, well, RG3, you married a white woman. So what conversations do you have about how a black woman is treated in this country? Like, that's pretty much what Ryan Clark said, as if RG3's mom isn't black and RG3, like, never has had a conversation with any black woman. Like, it makes no sense to me. I didn't get the point off RG3's analysis on Angel Reese basically saying she hates Caitlin Clark, why Ryan Clark went down that road. I thought it was just trying to put race into the conversation. So it came out, Marcellus Wiley, I guess, released this, because he used to work at ESPN and Fox Sports. And to me, this is no big deal. But if you're Ryan Clark and you're basically going after RG3 for marrying a white woman, well, Ryan Clark's first child, the mother was a white woman. So, like, why are you bringing that up for RG3 if that's, like, something to, I guess, to be ashamed about? Like, or something where it's like, oh, Ryan Clark's making a point. It makes no sense to me. And Ryan Clark today, see, this is my problem with Ryan Clark. He can never just say, oh, I got one wrong. Or Ryan Clark, he like acts as if he's holier than thou, and there's always these deep explanations, and he doesn't understand why people are now bringing this up. Like, I don't care. Ryan Clark, you slept with a white woman and you had a kid. Who gives a crap? Just like RG3 married a white woman. I met her once. Very nice lady. Who gives a crap? So now RG3 can't understand what black women go through because he married a white woman? That doesn't make any sense to me. So I guess Ryan Clark got some blowback today for, you know, it coming out that the mother of his first child was white. Like, what a stupid conversation this is. And Ryan Clark said, I didn't know this was news, but since other people want to talk about her, this is my firstborn, Jaden. My God, she's beautiful, all of her. I fell in love with her the first time I ever saw her, and I loved her every day since. We grew up together, we cried together, laughed, fought. She is all mine, and I've always been so proud to be her father. Maybe the news in light of this week is that she's biracial. So, she is a perfect part of God's given experience, and the sum of those experiences make who I am. 100%, no problem. But you're the one that made biracial an issue here. Ryan Clark was the one that brought race into the conversation. Ryan Clark was the one, oh, RG3, you don't have conversations about how black women are treated because your wife is white. So now he's like, oh, I don't understand why this is now a topic of conversation. She's biracial. Yeah, so what? Just like how, so what about RG3 marrying a white woman? It's such a dumb conversation. And Ryan Clark just never knows how to take an L. And he makes this mushy family post about his daughter, right? Great. But the reality of the situation is, Ryan Clark, the only reason people are talking about this is because you went after RG3 for marrying a white woman. Like, who cares? Anyway, getting into Jim in New York City's question. I have to answer that for Ask the Pros. Sponsored by Arathi Auto Parts. Who's the individual in the Knicks-Pacers series that has the most pressure on them? Let's go around the room on this one. And you could give the same answer, but I think the answer to me is fairly obvious, but I want to see if we could get this here. Azarm, who's the players under the most pressure, or the individual under the most pressure in Knicks and Pacers?
Tyrese Halliburton.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
I think he just wants, I think he has to prove that he can be better than Brunson. Because I'm a big Halliburton fan. I know he has the whole, like, overrated chance, and he was voted stupid. The most overrated player in the NBA. I really enjoy watching him. I think he's a great creator. He's one of those, like, pure point guards that gets a lot of assists. He leads the playoffs in assists. But I think if he wants to really take that next step and be considered an elite player in the league, I think that he has to win this series to do that.
Okay. Fair take. That's something that wasn't the name I was going to go with, but I like the way that you explained it. All righty, Stu, who's yours?
Mine is Karl Anthony Towns.
Wow.
It's the guy they traded for this offseason, the guy that was, I know Brunson's a star of the team, but they traded for Towns to be that 1A to Brunson, and there are times where he disappears, there's times where he's great, so if he has one of those disappearing series, I think he'll get a lot of hate.
Mine's Brunson. So here's why. Brunson got hurt last year. The Knicks were injured last year up against the Indiana Pacers. I know Brunson gets a ton of respect, but there's still always a yeah, but with Jalen Brunson. Like, I view him as a great player. Some people do not. But the New York Knicks are in position, and the question was, who has the most pressure? The New York Knicks are in position to legitimately go to the NBA Finals. If the Knicks don't go to the NBA Finals, I'll be disappointed. I think the Knicks are better than the Indiana Pacers. It doesn't mean that the Pacers can't win this series. The Pacers, I actually like the Pacers. I like Rick Carlisle. I like Tyrese Halliburton. Pascal Siakam's a heck of a player. You know, TJ McConnell, I loved him when he was in Philadelphia. I know most people don't talk about TJ McConnell when they talk about the Pacers, but I like TJ McConnell. Like, they got likable players on the Pacers. The Pacers and the Knicks are both gritty. They're tough. They're fun. And neither were really expected to be here. And they were able to slay Cleveland and also the Boston Celtics. But you're the home team here. And you're the best player on the Knicks, Jalen Brunson. And if the Knicks are really back-back, not just back, but back-back, then Jalen Brunson has to take care of this opportunity and seize the opportunity, and he has to find a way to win four games in this series. And then if you go on to lose to the Thunder, you lose to the Timberwolves, so be it. But I find that interesting, and this is why I love sports, right? Not to give you like some deep, crazy answer like Ryan Clark. I asked a question. I thought everyone was going to say Brunson. Azarum goes with the Pacers, so I will agree. I think most people think the Knicks are winning this series. So I like how you ended up going with an Indiana Pacer. Stu then goes with the Nick, and it's not the same Nick as I. And I think all three could be the right answer. There's a ton of pressure on Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe a little less because he played so great in that Game 6, but there's pressure on him. Tyrese Halliburton, you don't want people to call you overrated ever again? Well, go get to the NBA Finals. And Jalen Brunson, you're four wins away. You're already a star in New York. You go on to be a mega, 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 mega star in New York if you go get to the NBA Finals. All righty, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Indiana Pacers Network. Infinity Sports Network. I will be at the Garden tonight. Well, I'm hungry too. I only had a perfect peanut butter protein bar today and a large coffee. So I'm going to a luxury box. So get that charcuterie out there. Get those burgers out there. Get that sushi out there. Get those whiskey gingers out there as well. It's going to be a fat night for your boy. All righty. Alex, thank you. Stu, thank you. Ack, thank you. Each and every one of you, thank you as well. We'll talk tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.